If I were to ask you to come up here this morning and before this group of people, answer this question, I'm wondering how you might answer it. And the question is, what does God want from each one of us as His children? How would you answer that question to a group of people like this? Now, I asked that question this morning to our Sunday school class, and we had some really good answers. And I suspect with the spiritual maturity that is gathered in this room at this time, that we'd have some other really good answers to that question this morning. But I would like for you, just how would you answer that question if someone were to ask you, if you were given the opportunity to stand before a group of people and to say, here is what God wants from us, how you might answer that question? What's good is that as good as our answers might be, God's is obviously better. And there is a passage of Scripture that I want us to look at this morning that comes from the book of Micah, where that very question is asked and answered. If you'd like to be taking your Bibles and turning to the book of Micah chapter 6, before I call your attention to the verse that I want us to think a little bit about today, I need to take just a moment or two, maybe kind of try to tell you a little bit about Micah. A lot of you have already been in a class this morning where this has already been done for you, where you've already worked out of this book a little bit, and so this may be a repeat for some of you, but for those that couldn't make it to a class this morning, we are in both Sunday school and from the pulpit working our way through what is often referred to in Scripture as the Minor Prophets. And we've made our way this morning to the book that bears the name of Micah. Micah is not as easy to read as some of the other books that we've looked at recently, especially like the one we looked at last week, Jonah, which is a neat little story. Micah is not nearly as neat and compact, but it's an important book. Micah spoke to both the northern and southern kingdom of God's people, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. At the time he spoke, the northern kingdom of Israel was nearing its last days because of the influence of several ungodly kings. The people to the north had stumbled into and turned away from God. They were living in idolatry. They were practicing sexual immorality. They were not the people that God wanted them to be. God was eventually going to judge them, and that instrument of judgment was going to be the nation of Assyria. We talked again a little bit about that last week when we looked at Jonah. God would eventually use the Assyrians to judge the northern kingdom of Israel. Most of the people were carried off into captivity, from which they never returned. Some fled down to Jerusalem and began to live there. But eventually the northern kingdom goes out of existence. The southern kingdom was a little bit better off under the influence of some good kings like Hezekiah. They had been faithful a little bit longer to God, but they too, under the influence of some ungodly men like Ahaz and Jezebel, had turned away from God. And eventually God was going to judge them with the nation of Babylonia. And they too were going to be carried off into captivity. But some of them were going to be allowed to return and rebuild Jerusalem. And we've talked about that in previous lessons. The main thing is that at the time Micah prophesied and spoke to the people, that the people of both kingdoms had turned their backs on God. They were guilty, as I said, of idolatry, of all kinds of immorality. They were thinking like pagans, and they were treating God like a pagan god. They were thinking that we can appease God by offering certain kinds of sacrifices at the right time, at the right place, and as long as we do that, God's wrath, God's anger will be appeased and we'll be okay. They had come to think of God as a pagan god, and they were worshiping Him as such, offering rituals and offering the right kind of sacrifices, but then going and living any old way they wanted to. The There was no justice in the land. The poor were often mistreated and held in contempt. Sexual immorality was rampant, and so God was deeply saddened by the condition of the hearts of the people. And so he sent prophet after prophet to try to turn them back, to call them back to him, to urge them to repent and to once again draw near to him. But oftentimes the voice of the prophet fell upon deaf ears. And what scholars believe is probably the most important passage in this scripture or in this book, maybe that's a fair statement to say. There are others that are equally perhaps important, but at the very least, maybe this is the most well known. In chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8, Micah asks very much the same question that I asked just a moment ago, and that is, what is it, God, that you want? What is it, God, that you desire from your people? Verse 6 of chapter 6, if you've got your scripture open, words it this way, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God?" In other words, God, what is it that you want? What do you want from me? Micah seems to be asking that on behalf of the people. What is it, God, that you want from your people? And then kind of in response to that question, Micah gives an answer to that question, but it's kind of the answer that the people might have thought, maybe this is what God wants. And so the questions he follows up on that, or the answers he follows up that question are as follows. "Shall I come before you with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?" The people kind of thought that. Their thinking was, what God wants is sacrifices. What God wants is burnt offerings. He's like a pagan god. If we offer him the right sacrifice, then his anger, his wrath will be appeased. So Micah's here, he's kind of thinking like the people, and the people think, well, God wants offerings. God wants sacrifices. And so he says, what does God want? "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?" The answer to that question, though it's not stated, is implied. The answer is no, that's not what God wants. "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil?" Is that what God's wanting? Is he wanting sacrifices of burnt offerings and olive oil? Again, there's no statement there to the effect, but the answer is implied. No, that's not what God wants. God is not impressed with burnt offerings or thousands of rivers of oil. "Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Many of the pagan nations that surrounded God's people were so far into idolatry, they would offer their own children as a way of trying to appease the God that they were serving. So is that what God wants? Is that what our God wants? Does he want what these other gods want? The sacrifice of our firstborn, the fruit of our very soul? Again, the answer is no, that's not what God wants. God's really not looking for any of these things like this. God's not interested so much in your sacrifices or your offerings. Well, then what does he want? What does our God want? Verse 8, Micah says, "He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" There's our question. What does the Lord require of us? What does he want? What does God want from you? What does God want from me as this week unfolds? What will it take for us to please this God that we're here worshiping and singing songs to this morning and praying to? What does he really want? Here's the answer. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly. It's not a long list, is it? It's not 1,000 commands. It's not even 10. It's 3. What does God want? He wants his people to act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly. Well, that was then. Yeah? But it's the same today, I'm convinced. What does God want from us? The same things I think He wanted from His ancient people. As people who've come to Him now through faith in Christ, it really hasn't changed. What does God want? He wants us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Can we think about these three things for just the next few moments this morning? What would it look like this week for you to leave this building, to get through the rest of today, to begin your work week, your school week, your normal week, whatever that consists of? What would it look like in your world, in your home, in your school, in your factory, in your place of employment, in your neighborhood, in the places where you interact with people this week? What would it look like for you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly? Could we think about that for just a moment? What would that look like? What would it look like to act justly? What does that mean? We talked a little bit about that in our class this morning. I don't know if you talked about that in yours or not, but what does it mean to act justly? God has a deep concern for justice. You can't read the prophets, especially the minor prophets, and not get that. If throughout this series any of you have spent any time in the minor prophets reading them, it's hard to read through this material and not see that God has a heart for justice. He wants people to be treated fairly. Now, who in ancient Israel was most often mistreated and not treated fairly? Well, it was those who were poor. And so throughout the pages of the minor prophets, there's a lot of concern expressed for the poor. And so people were urged to throw away the scales that they used that didn't weigh things fairly, because often people would be treated unfairly through the use of scales that didn't weigh accurately, and so people wouldn't get a fair price for whatever it was they were selling. So throughout the prophets, there's this deep concern that God is expressing to His people. You need to care about those among you who don't have a voice. You need to care about those among you who are disenfranchised, is a word we might use. You want to care about those who are not being treated fairly. Now, Jesus would come along many years later and would say it like this. He would say, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's the concept behind what we're talking about here, of living our lives in such a way that we treat others fairly, that we do what we can to see God's will done, not only in heaven but on earth. And a big part of God's will is that people be treated fairly, that justice reign throughout the land, not just in heaven but also on earth. And so God's people are to have a sense of fairness. God's people are to be those who speak up for those who don't have a voice, who don't have a power themselves. That God's people are the kind of people who are going to rally to the cause of someone who's being treated unfairly or not receiving the justice that they need. God's people are to act justly. What would that look like in your place of work this week? What would it require for you to act justly in your neighborhood this week or in this community? What does that require of us as a community of believers? Who should we be speaking up for? Who should we be defending? Who should we be trying to help see that they're treated fairly and honestly and right? That's what God's people are called to do, to act justly. I read a story recently in putting this lesson together that I thought really does a good job of kind of putting some flesh on what I'm talking about this morning. It happened in a small town, a small southern university, a town not unlike ours, a university town. One night after a Bible study at his church, a young man was on his way back to his dorm room when he stopped to get a few groceries. I don't know if it was at Walmart or Kroger or some mom and pop store or whatever, but while waiting in line for his items, had them in a shopping cart there, he opened up a bag of chips and began to eat from the bag while he was in line. Well, the manager of the store saw it. There happened to be a police officer there at the time, and the police officer ended up arresting the young man. Took him down to the station, booked him, charged him with theft. The next day, the minister, who had been at the Bible study the night before with the young man, went to the store to talk to the manager to see if they might not make some arrangements here for this to be changed, but the manager was adamant they were not going to drop the charges. The young man was going to be charged with theft. Pretty soon, the story got around town. Pretty much everybody agreed. Not everybody. Some thought they did the right thing, but most everybody agreed what was being done to the young man was wrong, wasn't fair. But it wasn't until a group of young mothers who met each week for Bible study in their homes heard the story that something got done. The young moms, it seems, felt the young man was being treated unfairly because he was black. They knew that almost every single one of them had done the same thing at the same store at one time or other to appease a crying child. And so they went to the store manager and used their voice. And they said, "This is not right. You're not treating this young man the same way you have treated many of us when we've done the same thing with our kids. If you don't change it, we're not going to shop here anymore." Well, that got his attention, and pretty soon the charges were dropped. Now, to me, that's a group of young moms acting justly. They saw what they believed was an injustice. They saw someone who they were convinced was being treated unfairly, and they used what voice, what influence, what power they had to make a difference. That's acting justly. That's speaking up for someone whose voice has been muted. That is seeking justice for someone who's not being treated just or fairly. That is seeking to see God's will done perfectly in heaven, also done perfectly on earth. And so I would ask you again, what will acting justly look like in your world this week? Who will you be called upon to speak for? Whose defense will you be called to come to? In what way will you be challenged to seek fairness on behalf of someone who's being treated unfairly, to seek justice on someone who is not receiving justice? Folks, that's who we are as the people of God. What does God want from you? What does God want from me this week? To act justly, to treat others with the courtesy, with the respect, with the dignity, with the honor, with the love, with the compassion that we ourselves would want to be treated. Act justly. Love mercy. The Hebrew word here is a rich one. Translated in various versions of the Bible, might be yours, tender mercies, loving kindness, steadfast love. The idea is that God wants His people to love showing mercy. You see, it's not mercy until we do something. It's not mercy until we've acted. It's not mercy until we've actually moved to do something on behalf of someone else. God wants His people to love showing mercy and kindness to other people. Again, I ask, what might that look like in your neighborhood this week? How will you show mercy in your place of employment this week? How will you show mercy to the people that you interact with in this community? How do we show mercy? Christian author and pastor Gordon MacDonald tells a story about a time he and his wife were on a flight to Boston. Shortly after taking their seats, two women and two small children came down the aisle and took the seats right in front of them. One woman took the A seat, which is by the aisle. The other woman took the C seat, which is by the window. One child sat in the middle and one child sat in the lap of the lady who was closest to the aisle. MacDonald and his wife assumed that it was two young mothers with their two children traveling together. During the ensuing flight, the children had a tough time. The air was turbulent. Their ears hurt. Pretty miserable flight. The women did their best to try and comfort the two children. The one holding the child tried to comfort her. The one sitting beside the child in the middle tried to comfort her, but it was a tough go. About halfway through the flight, though, the little girl in the middle seat threw up all over her mom sitting beside the window. You remember when that happened in school? Almost like a domino effect, you know. One child throws up, and then pretty soon everybody else is kind of almost throwing up as well. He says it was like that in the airplane. You know, people were just doing everything they could. You know, the little girl, she couldn't help it. She'd thrown up her food all over the lady sitting beside the window. The mom beside the window did the best she could to clean up the little girl, to assure her it was okay, that it'd be all right. Eventually, the flight landed. Everybody was more than happy to get off as quickly as they could to get away from these two women, including Gordon and his wife. As they exited the plane, he noticed, though, that the woman who'd been holding her child also took the child that had been seated between the two women and went one direction. The other woman who'd been sitting beside the window went in completely the opposite direction. Come to find out, Gordon found out the woman sitting next to the window was just a random traveler who saw a mother with two children, and she decided to do what she could to help a struggling mom. Her reward for that was vomit all over her blouse and her outfit. You know, I wonder, would I have been that kind? Had I been the one sitting by the window, would I have been so merciful to a mom with a young girl who'd thrown up all over me? I wonder, would I have extended mercy and kindness in that instance? How will you show mercy this week? If someone throws up on you, how are you going to respond? Well, you selfish little kid. Someone cuts you off. You jerk! Been there, done that. If it was any of you that I did that to, I apologize. What does God want? He wants His people to love showing mercy. Giving others what they don't deserve and doing it willingly. What will that look like this week in your life? Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. The word here actually means to pay attention, to walk attentively, to have our mind on God, not on ourself. The greatest example I can point us to on that is Jesus in his famous invitation where he invites those who are weary and burdened to come to him for rest. Do you remember how Jesus described himself? He said, "I am gentle and humble in heart." Jesus was not all about himself, but rather he was about doing the will of his Father. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And so he walked humbly. He was attuned to God and what God wanted. It was not about what he wanted, about what his Father wanted. It was not about his will, but God's will. And it was God's will that Jesus serve, that Jesus show mercy, that Jesus do the right thing. Too many of us, I think, are too full of ourselves for our own good. We want things to go our way. We want things to be done our way. And if something does not go our way or get done when we want it to get done, we get all bent out of shape. We want people to notice us, to praise us, to acknowledge us. And when we don't get the praise or acknowledgement we think we deserve, we get defensive or dismissive of others. We too easily fall in the trap of thinking everything is about us and what we want. Our daily prayer ought to be that of the psalmist who prayed, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a straight path." How will you walk humbly with God this week? How will your life reflect a commitment to not having things your way, but to having things done God's way? How will your life reflect a deep commitment not to be served, but to serve? To not think of more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to think of others, to put others before ourselves. How will we walk humbly with our God as this week unfolds? Micah told the people, the ancient people of his day, that God didn't want more sacrifices of burnt rams or rivers of oil, but rather he just wanted his people to act justly, to love showing mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I think he wants the same from us. He wants us to treat others fairly, to see his will done on earth as it is in heaven, which certainly includes justice and matters of fairness among other people. He wants us to act justly, to love showing mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly with him, to not be arrogant or full of pride, but be willing to listen to him, to follow his lead, to be willing to serve rather than to be served. So the question is, now that we know the answer to the question, what does God want? Now the question becomes, will we go out and do it? Will we go out and walk justly, show mercy, and walk humbly? Would you stand and bless somebody beside you? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.